Support for WMFE comes from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University's worldwide campus, where highly ranked online degree programs offer the flexibility to learn what students want from wherever they are. More at erau.edu/worldwide.
Younger by the day. Folks, do not touch that dial because you've tuned into a show that is unlike any other. A show that offers three things that these days we just can't get enough of. We're talking about hope, inspiration, and possibility. Get ready to experience growing bolder because it might just change your life. Whether you've been thinking about changing jobs, starting a hobby, taking an adventure vacation, making a major lifestyle change, or stepping up to face personal or even physical challenges, over the next hour, you will find critical information and invaluable motivation.
For example, Mark, in just a minute, we will hear from JoJo Starbuck, the figure skating lesson, who says she's found one of the most complete and enjoyable workouts that anybody could do. We'll also talk to the author of what the Library of Congress says is one of the 10 most influential books of our time to find out how what she says can change your life. And if you want to hear from a true legend of rock, wait till you hear what Sam of Sam and Dave has to say about life in his 80s. And then we'll chat with a big-time business executive who's taking renewable energy halfway around the world and a man who was dead for a total of 20 minutes. And his miraculous fight to regain his life. It's time for Growing Bolder.
So how interested would you be if I told you there was a great new way to exercise out there that is cool, fun, and incredibly effective? Truth is, it's really not new at all, but it is something you have probably never even thought about. Of course, our next guest did, and she did more than thinking about it. She's an Olympic figure skating medalist and a world champion. With her partner, Ken Shelley, she won 3 U.S. titles, 2 world bronze medals, and competed in both the 1968 and the 1972 Olympics.
So guess what exercise she says will change your life?
Skating.
Ice skating. And she believes that it can do great things for you in a way that no other exercises can. So let's find out more from a truly bright light out there in the world. JoJo Starbuck, welcome to Growing Bolder.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to speak with you and your listeners.
Well, you're such a perfect guest for our program because we're always trying to find people to inspire the rest of us to step out of the box, to do new things, to try to improve themselves. And everybody's always looking for a way to exercise that's fun and interesting and really works. And here you are standing over in the corner shouting, "Hey, what about ice skating?"
That's exactly right. I started teaching adults about 25 years ago, and I just absolutely love it because adults, when they're there, they really want to be there. They've driven themselves, they've paid for it, and they're so engaged. It's really wonderful. Not that I don't love teaching kids, and I have brought kids to the Olympics and choreographed for Olympic skaters many times in the past, but my adult students are my favorite, and I love introducing them to ways to glide and be beautiful on the ice and get a tremendous workout, not only engaging their body, but their brain as well, all the things that we need as we mature. And they're my favorite clientele, and I just adore working with them.
Speaking of being beautiful on the ice, JoJo, I promise this is the only time I'm going to suck up to you in this interview, but you are the perfect example. You are Exhibit A as to what continuing life's ice skating or beginning ice skating can do for someone as they age. I mean, it's obviously working for you.
Well, thank you so much. I feel very fortunate to have learned all these lessons that I'm now teaching as I get close to 65. I'm still teaching the same things that I learned as a kid in ballet classes and with great coaches and choreographers over the many years of my career. I taught a lot because I wanted to be available to my kids after school. So I started teaching whoever was available during the school days, and that turned out to be adults. and they are just wonderful. And we've discovered together that the things that skating offers are the things that we all need. You know, your core is so important to balance and for strength, and that's something you're constantly engaging. Your leg muscles get toned, obviously, from skating, but also, and your posture, and, but also your brain. You have to, you know, a lot of seniors tend to do things like crossword puzzles and Sudoku so that they stimulate their brain activity, but when you're skating, it's a lot more fun than that, and you're thinking about six things at one time, you know, keeping the arm on the outside of the circle in front of you, the inside arm is behind you, you're bending in the ankles, knees, and hips, you're lifting your core, you're looking to the center of your circle, all the millions of things that you think of as you go along, you're constantly stimulating your brain, and when you feel like you're soaring through space like a bird in the air, it's just a glorious emotional rush as well as being a great physical and mental workout. So on all levels, it's really a blast. And we put on our favorite music, and we put combinations of steps together. And even if you're a very entry-level beginner, you can really have a tremendous time. And when you get off the ice, your posture is better, and your balance is better, and your focus is pretty bright and clear. You sort of feel like you can conquer the world.
You paint a fantastic picture of it, but what if you're like me and you're kind of a bender? You know,
a bender. What's a bender?
See,
I
come from the hockey world where we coach kids. I'm a youth hockey coach, and all the kids call somebody who gets out there. And you've seen them at the public sessions. You know, they'll slap on the rental skates. They go out there, and the ankles just bend right in.
Well, first of all, in their defense, when you wear rental skates, that's a tough thing. I mean, I've tried to put them on and teach my classes just so I know what some of my skaters are dealing with, and it is not easy. I must say that investing in a pair, if you want to get a good workout skating on a regular basis and take some lessons so you can really enjoy it, investing in a pair of skates is a really, just like people do with their running shoes, they're probably cost as much as two or three pairs of running shoes, but they'll last you a lifetime, and you'll be safer, more secure, you'll feel better, and you'll learn quicker. So that is what I say to the benders out there. But, you know, it is important that you do bend your ankles when you skate because it helps lower your center of gravity. And it is important, though, that you not bend at the waist because unlike hockey, where you do lean over more with the stick action, you do want to have a lifted core because you want all your weight to be right over your skating leg and not to be off to the side or in front of you while you're trying to balance. So, it's great. And if you're a bender because of the bad skates, it's probably not you. So not to worry. There's hope if you get a little more support in those skates.
I may or may not be learning how to skate, but I'm being mesmerized by the voice of JoJo.
Great voice.
JoJo Starbuck. Folks, she's an international skating icon. You remember her from, her world competitions and Olympic competitions back in the 60s and the 70s. And she's here today to tell us about, you know, probably her first love, and that is ice skating. And she wants us to consider ice skating as a way to get in shape and a way to maintain our balance. And JoJo, you hit upon the, you know, falling down, which is something, it's a huge epidemic problem with people as they get older. And as you know, when people get involved in athletics at a certain age, avoiding injury is really job number one. So how do you take someone in their 50s or 60s or 70s who has never skated before and get them to enjoy all that it has to offer without getting hurt?
Well, even before they get on the ice, I can talk to them about falling down because there is a way to prevent falling. And basically, it sounds kind of crass, but the saying is, when in doubt, stick it out. And what that means is you want to pull your hips back while you're skating because most falls happen because your hips fly forward and then you have nothing to protect you. You go down. But I've seen my skaters for years – having that information under their belt, they know that the minute they start to lose it, those hips start to fly forward. They pull their hips back and push their hands out in front of their shoulders, and it gives you fantastic balance. It's almost like when you're receiving a serve in tennis. Your feet are slightly apart, and you're bending at the ankles, knees, and hips, but your hips are back, and your core is lifted at the same time, and then your hands out in front of your shoulders helps, too, for that balance if you feel like you're about to go down. So that's important, and they can practice that on the floor with their skates on before they even get on the ice. And then once they're on the ice, I encourage people, I mean, some people just get out and start skating, but some people, you're absolutely right when you say when they're more mature, they don't want to break anything, they don't have time for it, they feel more vulnerable. You just have to go slow and easy. Slow and steady wins the race. You know, it's inch by inch, anything that's inch. It's kind of all those things. You just want to take on one little maneuver at a time and start marching, small baby steps, not big ones. Don't even try to glide at first. Just take small steps and keep those hips back and your core lifted. And your hands out, usually when you're skating, I encourage people to keep your hands at waist level at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock if you're facing 12. So those are some good things for balance for a very entry-level person who just wants to get accustomed to being on the ice before they start gliding. The gliding sort of happens if you're balanced and you're doing all those correct things. The gliding will eventually just start to happen. So you don't have to worry too much about it.
In our last minute, JoJo, I know, you know, a portion of our audience may be interested in skating, but 100% of them are interested in you. When we were growing up, look how aging has changed. 65-year-olds did not look like JoJo Starbuck. Talk to us. Give us the JoJo takeaway on how you've lived your life and what's enabled you to age so well.
Oh, you're so sweet. You've made my day with your lovely comments. I really appreciate them. Well, there's a lot of things. Number one, I think having a faith in God and prayer really gives you security and peace, because listening to the radio and the television and just the news in general, it can shake you up and make you very anxious, and you need to get grounded and find peace and some kind of security. And for me, it's my faith in God. And I start my day, or if I don't do it at the very beginning, I find time every day to focus on that. Number two is try to make your world as beautiful as you can by keeping order in your home, order in your life, and keeping in touch with old friends, I feel, is another big perk. Because life is short, and you never know what tomorrow brings, and we have to stay close to one another. And I think keeping in touch with friends from your youth, it's a beautiful thing, because they know you from the very beginning, and you have a very special relationship with those people, and it's really nice to renew those.
But JoJo, we're gonna have to end it there. That's great stuff. Great advice. You can learn more at jojostarbuck.com. Our thanks to the inspirational skating champion. Up next, a man who survived his own death three different times. This is one you gotta hear. This is Growing Bolder.
Support for Growing Bolder provided by
Rides with Uber help give older adults the freedom they need and deserve. Plus, many Medicare Advantage Flex cards help cover the cost of Uber rides to appointments and important deliveries with Uber Eats, like groceries and OTC medication. Learn more at uberhealth.com/card or call 1-866-827-4584.
Billy Dylan Mark here. Glad to have you with us here on Growing Boulder. And you're about to hear an incredible story of a man whose midlife crisis very quickly became a major health crisis.
Yeah, it started out pretty normal, if there is such a thing, for a midlife crisis. The guy turns 50, takes a look at his life, and thinks, maybe I can be doing something else. But he had no idea that the transition would just about kill him. Yet somehow, some way, even to the amazement of his medical team, he is still around to tell his tale.
Richard Belanger had made up his mind. He was ready to shake up his life, and nothing was going to stop him.
No, I was 51 years old, got everything taken care of. I said, you know what? It's time for a change.
For years, he'd been working as a chef, but he felt like he was ready to cook up something different.
Go back to something you love doing, taking care of people, being part of their life, you know, controlling other situations that I was trained for.
He loved his time in the Marines. Maybe he would try to become a deputy sheriff.
Hey, why not?
His friends worried that being in his 50s, he might be a little too old for that.
Oh, you're never too old.
Just to be sure, he went for a complete physical.
I was healthy. Just passed medical, got passed, you know, went to a cardiologist, went to that, what they call the annual 5-year, 10-year plan for men. Passed with flying colors. Doctors look at me saying, oh, you're strong as a horse. I'm like, thank you.
Full of optimism, he enrolled in the academy. He breezed through the written exam and was nearly through the physical duty test when he felt lightheaded. And then, disaster.
Boom. Blacked out. To me, I blacked out. To them, I had a massive heart attack.
A nearby defibrillator saved his life as the EMTs rushed him to the ambulance.
Next thing I know, boom, I had another one. Right there in the truck.
Another what?
Massive heart attack.
In the ambulance?
In the ambulance.
Somehow he made it to the hospital, but as they wheeled him into the ER, he crashed yet again. Not only was he critical, he was as close to gone as anyone can get.
I had died for 20 minutes and 48 seconds. Died. No brain, no heart, no lung. Died.
That's where Florida Hospital stepped in.
What happened to him is, affectionately known as the Widowmaker. He had a plaque that ruptured and then caused a blood clot in his left main coronary artery.
The head gentleman that was in charge of the cardiac unit was Dr. Kim. Dr. Kim Chin took care of me. He told me everything that happened from that point on. That I had a gentleman that was on top of me for 40 minutes, doing nothing but chest compressions.
In medical terms, he was basically dead for about 25 minutes. When he arrived to us, he was basically dead. I asked someone, I said, you know, is his family here? And they replied that his young wife is outside, and so are a lot of friends and family. And so I just said, let's keep going. And, you know, we kept going and, you know, we got him back.
As dire as Belanger's condition was, nobody at that hospital gave up on him. And that's something that affects him to this day.
So that's almost like what I do now. I don't give up on people. It's because it's if you give them that extra, then you win. And it still runs back to why I went to become a deputy sheriff. You want to give. If more people did this, it would help.
Is that dream gone?
No.
Richard Belanger says one day soon he'll take that deputy test again. He's nearly recovered, just as determined, and he says wiser than ever.
You don't get so amped up about small things. You get amped up. Do something, do what I try to do, you know, become something better to help people around you.
That's an incredible attitude. And you know, Mark, having gone through everything that he did, he says that using his life to make a difference really came to the top of the list. It's more important to him than ever. And the thing that is motivating him the most, that drives him to get a little bit better each day, is that desire to help other people.
Yeah, it's what we call move forward, give back, and he is definitely doing that. And Bill, it's incredible that for a guy who literally died three times, Richard says, all in all, he is feeling pretty good. He is quick to point out, though, that he's still recovering, still getting stronger, and hopeful that one day he will be able to pick back up where his life left off.
Up next, using the power of the sun to change the lives of people halfway across the world. This is Growing Boulder.
We've got news. Watch.growingboulder.com, the world's first streaming site for active adults, is now live. Growing Boulder TV shows, national specials, documentaries, and inspiring videos on ordinary people living extraordinary lives 24/7 on demand for free. Watch.growingboulder.com is now live.
Continuing here on Growing Boulder, I'm Bill Schaefer with Mark Middleton. And Mark, there's kind of an old saying that warns us never to put things off and to live each day in the fullest. You've heard it a million times. It goes, make hay while the sun shines. Because most of us, Mark, do tend to think that sun is going to be shining forever.
You know, it's a great point, Bill, and I know where you're going with that, because our next guest knows a whole lot about that, because he has spent the last number of years in the field of solar energy. He's engineered and built photovoltaic systems, integrating those with computer hardware and software, and now he's taking renewable energy to the places that need it the most, to the people of Haiti, Tanzania, and South Africa. Let's find out more as we say hello to Mr. Lee Bristol. Hey, Lee, how are you?
I'm doing fine. And Bill, too.
You know, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. You know, trying to make the world a better place has got to feel good, but when you're doing it with your children, that's got to be amazing. You and your son have actually founded an organization called Global Solace. Tell us what that's about.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Our mission is to bring reliable and renewable sources of energy to some of the 2 billion people living in energy poverty in the developing world. We aim to improve the lives of people through the implementation of sustainable solar energy systems and add computer networks in rural schools and health clinics, thereby improving the services and giving the folks their kind of a path out of their existing lives. Lee, and the computers and internet access certainly do that.
Lee, that sounds like a great goal for a foundation to go after, but a terrible way for a businessman to make a buck.
Well, I'm 67. I'm retired from the company, the solar company that I co-founded. So now I guess it's time to do two things. One, give back, but more importantly, do what I really want to do. And that is go to the developing world. I love Haiti. I love Tanzania. And to be able to go there and do something useful is really satisfying.
You know, Lee, thank you for touching on that point, because we love to bring people like you, and don't take this the wrong way, but ordinary people who are doing extraordinary things, because you're the kind of folks that can inspire us all to believe that it's never too late and anybody can make a difference. And speaking of never too late, as you mentioned, you didn't start this until after you retired. You could have kicked back. You could have taken it easy. What motivated you to try to make a difference?
Well, it's kind of a cliche, but I'm a hippie from the old days of the 70s and a fan of Buckminster Fuller and geodesic domes, and kind of got into alternative things back then. And then, you know, you raise your kids, you get them through college, and then there's a time when you can get back to what you really want to do. And I was fortunate enough to be able to do that. Yeah, I mean, that's the genesis back in the 70s.
And Lee, do we kind of have the wrong idea about a lot of businesses these days? You know, we kind of look at most business leaders as greedy, people who have way too much money. Are there more Lee Bristols out there, or are you one of the rare ones?
Oh, I think there's a ton. What I would love to do is to get in touch with more retired folks. For me to make this project sustainable and to grow, I need to have some retired folks who could put in a couple days a week, volunteer, and use the skills that they've developed through their working life and just aim it in this direction. You know, I think there's a lot of people out there that want to do something like that. They just have to find the right group to get along with.
We're speaking with Lee Bristol, folks, by his own description, a former hippie who still wants to make the world a better place. He's doing that with his own foundation that takes solar energy and technological infrastructure to third world countries. And Lee, let me ask you about that. In many ways, and maybe I said that wrong about the technical infrastructure, some of these third world countries have none of it. Is it easier and quicker then to you know, hook them all up and connect them than it might be in a country like ours that has this infrastructure, you know, that is almost old school, but there's so much economic incentive for these companies to keep it that maybe we move slower in some cases. Is there any truth to that?
Well, it's really easy to put something in when there is nothing. Because we go into a school or a health clinic where there's no electricity and we get some local electricians to wire it up. So we're creating a job for them. But then we bring in our equipment and just plop it in. And within a week, we've got the school or the health clinic all electrified. And you're trying to use local vendors of computer networks because they obviously speak the language and they're available locally to train teachers. The other thing is, in the third world, you really don't want to be stringing electric wires. You don't want to have a central grid out there in the hinterlands. Number one, there's no need for it. There's plenty of sun, and it would just be too expensive to try to do it. The new technology that will be plopped in there are called mini grids, where you might have a small solar array for this country, 50 kilowatts, providing electricity for the whole village. That's the mini grid concept.
Look, Lee, at the difference that you're making for people. You know, we talk all the time about how one person can make a difference. How terrifying was it for you that day when you had to make that decision to see if you could try?
Well, it was pretty easy because my partner in starting our company, Standard Solar, his name was Neville Williams, and he founded a group in the 90s that put solar energy on people's houses in Vietnam and India. And his group was called SELF, the Solar Electric Light Foundation. And so I'm just carrying on what my buddy started.
And in our final 30 seconds, Lee, Bill and I have a little initiative we call Move Forward, Give Back, where we encourage people, you know, to keep living life, but don't forget about where they came from. How does that apply to your life? What is the Lee Bristol takeaway? What can we learn about life from what you've experienced?
I just think the biggest takeaway is that we're so fortunate to have what we have. And when we have the opportunity to visit a place that doesn't have quite so much, it behooves us to transfer what we've learned to those folks. And certainly healthcare and education in the developing world is a big need. It's very fulfilling to do it, and yeah, it's great.
We're talking, folks, with Lee Bristol, one of the good guys out there who has taken it upon himself in retirement to make a difference in the lives of others. And can you imagine the difference it makes when they put solar energy, bring solar energy to an area that either has none, very little, or very expensive energy alternatives to deal with? To find out more about Lee and his organization, Global Solace, all you have to do is go to globalsolace.org. Thanks, Lee. Coming up next, it's a conversation with a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Sam Moore, and he talks about what's missing from the music of today. This is Growing Bolder. Stay connected to Growing Bolder for daily doses of hope, inspiration, and possibility. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for our latest stories and motivational pictures. The following interview was recorded before the passing of our guest.
Timeless, classic, one of my all-time favorites. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. Rolling Stone named Soul Man one of the top 500 greatest songs in the history of humankind. I'm Mark Middleton. That's Bill Schaefer over there. You are listening to Growing Bolder. And wouldn't it be amazing, Bill, if we could actually talk with the guy who wrote this song and sang it? He's a legend, a multiple Grammy winner. He's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. And hands down, he is the greatest soul singer in the world today.
And for us, despite being born in 1935, this guy can still deliver the goods. And Sam and Davey was part of the most successful and critically acclaimed duo in history. Rolling Stone says he's one of the top 100 singers, Mark, of the entire rock era. We can't be happier to say hi to Sam Moore. Sam, how you doing?
My friend, good morning. How are you doing?
Man, we wanted to ask you how you're doing, how you feeling, how much are you enjoying your life at this age? What's going on in your world?
Well, I feel wonderful. Thank you for asking. And I was just sitting here thinking over the times that I've been out and whatnot, and I guess it's going to sound like a little cliche thing. I'm looking forward to 80, you know. So but other than that, I feel wonderful, and we'll get my health together and everything, and I feel good.
You know, there's nothing cliche about looking forward to 80. That's transformational, Sam. We love that. And you know, people will never forget you, which we cannot say about almost anybody. I mean, the awards, you've already had everything that there is, but yet they keep coming in. Recently, the Georgia Music Hall of Fame, the Memphis Music Hall of Fame. Did you ever expect this much accolade even as you approach 80?
I really didn't. I was looking. And the week before last, I was in New York, and I played the Lincoln Center. I came back home after the Lincoln Center, and I think I had about 2 or 3 days, and then I left and I went to the bowl for the tribute to Jaco Pastorius. And I was thinking, I was looking at all these things around here, and on the wall, and on the desk, and whatnot. I mean, gosh, man! If I had the money for all the awards I have, I could just be in the same position as Gates and all these people.
You know, Sam, one of the reasons we really wanted to have you on is, sure, you had your day in the sun and you were phenomenal, but your voice is still as compelling as ever. In fact, I want to prove it to everybody. Let's listen to the sounds of Sam Moore, just a few months shy of 80 years old. This is from a performance when he was on Reno's Old Time Music Show. Listen to this guy.
Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming. I'm on my way. Your lover, if you get cold, I will be your mama. Oh, anyway, cause I'll be your
That, folks, is Sam at 80 years old. How have you been able to turn back the hands of time?
Well, I haven't hit the 8 yet. I won't hit the 8 until the 12th of October. That was just, I don't know. As much as I enjoy hearing that and I appreciate, you know, it has been a blessing and also an albatross, because every time you go out, it's like a fighter, a football player on a team. When you go out to do a performance, they're always looking for you to have a good night, a good day, a good afternoon. And if you don't, they're going to say, well, what's wrong with him? And say, hey, I cannot have a good show. You know, I can, my voice can be this or thus or whatever. But I don't know. I guess it's because I haven't overworked it as much as some people would think I have. I'm just home, and when I do get a chance to go out and have a good time, I take advantage of it.
Well, you certainly can hear the emotion in your voice, Sam. You can hear the soul when you sing, and when you speak, you can hear the gratitude, you can hear the kindness, you can hear the optimism, and I'm guessing from the little I know about your personal life that a lot of that has to come as a result of marrying Joyce McRae. She's changed your life, didn't she?
Well, you know what? It was sort of a fluke, because during that time, I tell you guys this much, when I met her during the time that she was trying to get some kind of assistance for, as you all know, Jackie Wilson. And I met her through the fact that she was trying to help. But at the time, I had my own struggles, you know. And when she got involved in my life, or I got in hers or whatever, I was so messed up, guys. I was so drugged up. And she had no recognition of any of it, because she didn't come from that side of the map. But as things revolved, finding out, and she found out, she didn't just turn her back and say, okay, well, you got to go. I have a daughter, and I have a family here. I can't have that around me. She dug in her heels, and she got there. And whatever it took to try to help me with this addiction, I got to tell you, she did.
Sam.
And I appreciate, and I'm more, believe it or not, I am more than grateful that she did.
Sam, you're such a legend, such an amazing guy. You've seen the highs and you've seen the lows. What have you learned? What can you share with us? What's life really all about?
This October will be coming in. We'll have, when I leave Miami for the salute down there, I would have been in the business 60 years. Now, that's the truth. But, you know, I sit and I'm so disappointed. I don't know why, but the music has not gotten better. It's no music, almost. It is so, it's so awful, and they have changed it. I don't know, and it hurts. Because there are good singers out here. There are good young singers out here. But it's, I don't know. And I feel like, oh, my God, what? Music has taken us through life in many cases. What do we do? Nothing we can do, I guess. But I asked someone the other day, where do we go from here? If there's no music, they said, well, it is what it is. It'll never be the same again. That's a disappointment to me.
I know what we do with it. We pull out our old Sam and Dave records. And we
do that?
And we put them back on. And you know what, Sam? Sam Moore, what you have done and what you continue to do is going to inspire the next generation of musicians that are going to come around and turn everything around. Great getting to visit with a legend. And Sam, have a happy 80th.
When that day comes and I know you're down in a river of trouble and you're about to drown. So hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on.
Up next, the author of what the Library of Congress says is one of the 10 most influential books of our time. This is Growing Bolder. Sign up for the Growing Bolder Insider Newsletter, delivered to your inbox every week. Be the first to see our latest interviews, stories, and tips for making each day count. Sign up today at growingbolder.com. Miss an episode of Growing Bolder Radio? Subscribe to our podcast and get it on your mobile device. Details at growingbolder.com/podcasts. The following interview was recorded before the passing of our guest.
We are back with more Growing Bolder along with Bill Schaefer. I'm Mark Middleton, and yeah, we get to talk to a lot of very interesting authors on this program, and our next guest is no exception. Like many of the others, she's written a lot of books, 17 to be exact, but how many of the others can say that the Library of Congress named one of theirs as one of the 10 most influential books of all time?
Some pretty heavy stuff there, Mark.
Amazing.
The book is called Passages, and it blew everybody's mind, changed the very way that we look at the stages of our lives. She wrote that in the 70s, and today she's in her 70s, still raising the bar, opening a window into her fascinating life in a memoir called Daring, My Passages. And we're really excited to get to say hi to Gail Sheehy. How are you, Gail?
Oh, great. Is this Bill?
It is. Bill here, Mark there, and there's so much to talk about with you. Let's start with daring, and what a great word that is to describe a way to look at living life. Is it possible to still be daring in your 70s?
Oh, even more, because you have less to lose. You know, you're older, you're counting backwards from what you perceive might be the end, and you're thinking, boy, I've got a lot to pack in. I have a lot to do, and I'm going to speak out for those who don't have a voice. That's one of the main motivations of a lot of the women I interviewed. And we look at the women in the world who are really changing the world and making a huge difference. There are people like Angela Merkel. She's practically the only one in Europe under these very trying, frightening times with ISIS, who's holding the line and saying, we are going to keep this European Union together. She's in her 70s. Christine Lagarde, who runs the European economy, is in her 60s or 70s. 60s. Janet Yellen, who's running our Fed. Hillary Clinton, who's in her 60s and running for president and the most likely Democratic nominee. And then you think of some of the women in Congress, Dianne Feinstein, who's a powerhouse senator in her 60s. She asks the most compelling questions about our security, our national security and defense posture, and actually, you know, practically sued Congress for withholding information from her when she was on a committee doing an investigation. Nancy Pelosi, in her 70s, not retiring as the speaker or the minority speaker. So I always go back to Margaret Mead, who was my mentor, and she used to say, the great anthropologist, she used to say, women are at their strongest when they have postmenopausal zest. They're beyond sexual attraction. Other women don't see them as a threat, and they can really get things done.
So there is no question at all that we have the potential to be far more than most of us think we can. And as you noted, there are many examples out there. I think part of the problem is, Gail, is that the rest of us have been brainwashed from a very early age to think that we lose that power. We become impotent to some degree when we get older. So, you know, Bill and I kind of take it as our job to share the stories of people that are out there getting it done. And you certainly qualify as that. How quickly are things
things changing? How different is life, you know, certainly to the women that you just mentioned, but how different is life for you at 70 than, say, it was for your parents?
Well, I remember my mother saying when she turned 70 that she was just looking forward to the end. She really thought that she'd lived enough. She had emphysema because she'd been a smoker. She had lung cancer, which was in remission, but she knew that, you know, she had that cloud hanging over her head. And she was really looking at kind of letting herself die. And I had a talk with her. I'm not sure that made the big difference. But when she was 71, she called me back up and said, well, I think I'm going to get an extension. And she wanted to live longer, and she did live until she was 74. So I think a lot of times we, if we have a setback or we have some outmoded idea about when old is, people might, you know, really begin to give up. And it's the people who don't give up, who are more and more of them, boomers, who are now moving into their 70s. Most of them are nowhere near thinking about giving up. For one thing, they have to work, many of them, including myself, beyond into their 70s, just to keep up, because we have a terrific recession. It wiped out a lot of people's savings. But more than that, we have to provide for the fact that we're most likely going to live, if we've already gotten to 70, we're most likely to live until our mid-80s. So we've got to provide for that and also try to help our children or our grandchildren. So I think things have been changing very rapidly just in the last 10 years as boomers, as a generation, have moved from into their 60s to 70 and have a whole different attitude about it. The big shock for most boomers is they are going to get old. Some of them are already feeling old, which they vowed would never happen to them, and they gave birth to the whole anti-aging movement, which is a total denial of the fact that we all do actually get older and things change. So I find it much easier now to accept things about myself that change and also see the positives, like better judgment. You know, we're better able as we get older to draw on all those different memory banks that we have from our multiple experiences and pull all that information together before we make, you know, write the rash email or, you know, explode at a boss or, you know, take a foolish risk. And we're more likely to say, well, what the hell? What do I have to lose? Let me try this. And even if I fail at it, you know, I'll try it again until I fail forward.
Gail, all of your books seem to touch on this same theme, and this is why we're so fascinated in you. You've walked the walk. You've done everything that you recommend or that you espouse in your books. You've created the Daring Project, which is amazing. The Legacy Stories, which is fantastic. We only have like a minute and a half left in this interview already, and we need to get to the Gail Sheehy takeaway. What is it that, you know, all in all, what have you learned from all of these books and all of this exploration into different stages of life that could help us all as we age?
Well, I boil it down for myself into a simple formula. When I fear, I dare. And that makes me feel stronger. If I back away from taking a dare that I would really like to master, I feel weak, and then I become weak. But if I actually take the step, try out the new thing, try to write a book, try to start a radio show, try to change things for at-risk children in my community, all the things that many of us wish that we were doing. Try it. Take the dare. If you fall down, you will meet other people along the way who will help you get up and figure out the way to do it. It's the way to learn. It's the way to change. It's the way to grow.
Well, Gail, it's a far too short a visit. We're going to have you back again because there's so many things, you know, you at Burning Man, you know, there's so many great things for you to go into that really could make us lift an eyebrow and understand what active aging, what being vibrant, what participating in life is really all about. And folks, to learn more about her books, her life, her experiences, and so much more, check her out at GailSheehy.com.
Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for now. But remember, folks, Growing Bolder certainly does not stop here. In fact, you'll find hundreds more interviews just like the ones you've heard today with people who decided to make a change and the amazing results that came of it, all at growingbolder.com. How about a takeaway, though, before you go? If you're looking for a roadmap to the future, you might be able to find it in your past. All of us are filled with more knowledge and wisdom than we realize. It's all embedded in our memories, your memories of experiences, of your dreams. Use those to guide you, kind of like sailors use the North Star.
I like that chart, a course for your future, and embrace the adventure along the way that awaits you. Doesn't it make sense that you have to know where you've been to know where you really want to go? So use your past and discover that not only will you live better in the present, you'll be right on course to a bright future. Because that's Growing Bolder.
The Growing Bolder Radio Show is a production of Growing Bolder, LLC, all rights reserved. This program was recorded at Growing Bolder Studios in Orlando and is available as a weekly podcast on NPR One, iTunes, Spotify, and TuneIn. It is written and produced by Jill Middleton, Mark Middleton, and Bill Schaefer. Technical director is Jason Morrow. Production manager is Michael Nanis. Chief audio engineer is Mac Dula. And our most important team member, you. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram to keep growing bolder every day.
Crimson flames tied through my ears, blowing high and mighty traps. Countless fires. Said I, proud beneath heated brow. Ah, but I was so much older.